Amen. Let's go to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes this morning. Book of Ecclesiastes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ecclesiastes. Just kidding. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 3. And then we're going to look at some verses in chapter number 7. Chapter 3. Bible says in verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Time to rend and time to sow. Time to keep silence and time to speak. A time to love, a time of hate, time of war, time of peace. Lord, we pray you'd bless our time together this morning. Lord, I guess now there's a time to preach. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we open up these thoughts to your people. And I pray, God, that you'd be glorified in all that's done this morning. And for all that you do, Lord, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar passages in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I say very familiar because preachers are always guilty of saying it's a very familiar passage. But why is this indeed a familiar passage? Well, this is one that whenever we stand at the funeral home, generally we read these verses. In fact, I think Brother Calvin actually read from this same passage on Thursday. And as the family had asked Brother Calvin to preach the funeral, I did not get a chance to say anything at the funeral. And what I want to do this morning is I want to just give you a little bit of some of the things that I would like to have perhaps brought there on Thursday as we honored Brother Paul for his last earthly walk, if you will, his body there, and spend some time here in these verses this morning. As we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, let me just remind us that the key phrase to the book of Ecclesiastes is this phrase, under the sun. You cannot interpret the book of Ecclesiastes without understanding the phrase, under the sun. He does say vanity of vanity, all his vanities. Several other phrases that he may use. But the one phrase we need to understand is the phrase, under the sun. And here's the reason why. A lot of times cults will go to these verses to bring teachings into the New Testament that the Bible doesn't back up in the New Testament. Things like soul sleep and things like that. You're Jehovah's Witnesses, and Seventh-day Adventists will come here and begin to give us false doctrine out of these verses. But you've got to remember that Solomon is writing this passage as an older man, looking back at his time that he has gone around the sun, if you will, under the sun. And so he's looking at things as a man who is embittered in life has looked at things. But here in these verses we've read, there is a very astute, a very observant man who is recognized in verse number 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time on this earth for certain things to take place, a time for certain things not to take place. If you look on down in some of these verses, we're going to look up at in verse 2 and go to another chapter in a moment. But the Bible tells us this, there is a time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time to defend and a time to help mend someone else's wounds. There is a time to break down. There is a time to build up. There is a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And I know Baptists take this when there's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Amen. I know a lot of Baptists preach against it, but there is a time to dance if you do it in a biblical way. There is a time to rejoice. There's a time of celebration, but there's also a time where we need to mourn sometime. We live in a world, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, we live in a world that is all keen on the positives. It's all keen on the celebrations. It is all focused on the happy part, but we can't have any negative. We cannot have anything that's negative. And I want to remind us that without the negative times in life, the positive times are not going to be as joyous as they could be. Amen. Now, I will say this. We got some much-needed precipitation in the last, 12 hours, I guess, and what a wonderful time that's been to do that. But most of us don't really like to watch the rain fall and continue to fall and continue to fall. But without the rain, there is no rainbow. Without the rain, there are no crops. There are no pretty flowers. There are no rivers to swim in. There is no irrigation. Without the rain, there is no life, may I say. And so the Bible tells us here that there is a time and a purpose to everything under heaven. There is a time, verse number 7, to rend, to tear apart, and a time to sow. Now, some of us need to remember that. There is a time where some things need to be separated. There is a time where things need to be brought together again. Goes on further and says this, and this is one that some of us need to learn. There is a time to keep silence. That's a hard one to learn. That's a hard one to learn right there. There is a time to keep silence. But the Bible also tells us there is a time to speak. You and I can say the right thing, but at the wrong time, and we might as well say the wrong thing. Amen. So the Bible tells us there's a time for everything under the sun. And if you look in verse number 2, the Bible tells us that there is a time to be born. But there's also a time to die. And when I think about these verses and the time of everything under the heaven, just because there is a time for something to happen doesn't mean it's a convenient time. It doesn't mean it's a happy time. As I begin to look back on my time here, 7 years, a lot's taken place in 7 years. And for a church as small as ours, as far as our number of our congregation is concerned, for a church as small as ours, when one person passes, it's felt throughout the whole church. And I'll say this, if it's not felt throughout the whole church, there's something wrong with the hearts of the members of our church. Amen. Amen. Since I've been here, we've had several folks pass on. We could go back and look at Brother Tommy Hensley, former pastor, founding pastor of the church. He's passed on. I guess about 4 years ago, not really a church member, but my wife and I buried a little one over here here in Greenfield. Since I've been here, Miss Buckman's gone to heaven. Last year, Miss Barb went to heaven, and now Brother Paul. And that doesn't even mention the family members of other folks in here who's had family members who've passed on. We could talk so much more about that. But here's what happens. That leaves a definite void in our church. It leaves an absolute void. And we've got to realize that that's part of life. And you've heard the old-timers say it before, that death is just as much a part of living. You and I are not meant to stay in this world forever. We're meant to just sort of pass through here. We're not meant to stay here and accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, but we're meant to stay here for a little while, bless other people with what we have before we go on. So there's a definite void in our church. There is an empty pew, just like there's an empty place at folks' table. Amen. There are laughs we're no longer going to hear. Amens will no longer hear. And as a pastor, you like the amens. You like them. Sometimes you need them. Amen. Sometimes you'd pay 25, silver dollars. Praise God for a good amen. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, we think about the good laughs. I remember saying something about, stuff down south and talking about They have Haints in the holler down there, and I look over, Miss Barb's about to fall out of her pew because I'd said the word Haints, and apparently you don't hear the word Haints up here as much as you hear it down south. I still remember my grandma talking about the Haints that lived out in the holler or whatever, and like, oh, my lands. I still remember preaching on Calvary and Miss Barb saying amen and watching the tears come down her eyes, and I have those wonderful memories of that. And the voices that we hear sing at one time, we don't hear them sing anymore. Because right now they're singing on the shore of that land, it's fairer than day. And what a blessing to know that there is hope. There is hope. Before I go to chapter number 7, though, I want to ask us a couple of questions as a church that really we need to ask each other at a time like this. And here's some questions that I want to give us. I want to ask us these questions, and let's just have some honest answers. And listen, I'm not looking for a verbal response, but what I'm looking for is a response that moves that's going to move our heart a little bit. But I want to ask us a question. For those people who've left us since I have been here, and you folks have known more people to pass on, obviously, before that, but I want to ask us this question. Number one, did we do everything possible to be a blessing to those who have left us? Did we do everything possible to be a blessing to those who left us? Were we a help? Were we an encouragement? In fact, the next one I have, number two, did we encourage those who've died? Did we encourage them, not just try to be a help and encouragement, but listen, this is not a social club. This is the church of the living God. Did we encourage them in the things of God? Here's how we encourage folks. We do encourage folks. We come alongside folks. We put our arms around them. We tell them we love them. We appreciate them, that we're here for them. But we need to leave them with the promises of God, because if we don't give them the promises of God and encourage them in what God has already said, then that leaves us very little difference between us and any other social club that's out in the community. Did we encourage the people who've left us in the things of God? Number three, did we try to comfort a broken heart by both crying alongside and by bringing a helping hand? Did we do that? And someone say, well, preacher, as a church we might have. Let's not even ask us if we did it as a church. Let's ask us individually. Some folks say, well, preacher, I didn't know Brother Paul or Miss Barb that well. Well, whose fault is that? Whose fault was that? If this is a church family, then we need to know each other. We need to be concerned about each other. We need to pick up the phone and call people. Amen, preacher. That's number four. Did we call to check up, to talk, to listen, just to be a friend? Did we do that? Did we do that? Did we take a little time? I'm just asking us as a church, that have we done everything that we could have? Number five, in short, and I could sum everything else up in this, did we show the love of Christ as Christ Himself would? Stop and think about that just for a minute. Ask ourselves these questions. I don't know about you, but maybe there were some times that maybe as a church we did okay, but individually we didn't do as well as we could have. And by the way, I'll say this, if there's things that are going on maybe in your home or your family and the church doesn't do anything, please don't get upset if the church didn't know. There are a lot of times I don't find out about certain situations. Maybe people are sick in the hospital or something like that until they're back home, or maybe someone's already passed and I didn't know a thing about it. So, and I'm not being ugly, I'm just saying we can't love on folks if we don't know that it's needed in a particular situation. Did we do everything possible? Did we encourage those folks in the things of God? Did we try to comfort them? Did we call them, check on them, just to be a friend? Did we show them the love of Christ as Christ would? Questions, I'm sure there are a whole lot more we could ask, but just by way of introduction, I wanted to ask us these because we've got to honestly answer these so that, you know, by God's grace, if we didn't do a good job this time, next time that situation comes up, we can do a better job and be a greater help down the road. Because there is, watch verse number two, there is a time to be born. And moms who have babies are grateful for people bringing food by. And if the moms aren't grateful for food being brought by, I guarantee you the husband is excited, is definitely grateful when you bring the food by. Amen. Amen. So there's a time to be born, but there's also a time to die. Now, those times, these cycles of life, and we could look at the cycles, just call these the cycles of life. The cycles of life are coming again. And at some point in time, it may be this week, it may be 2 years from now. We have no idea when somebody else is going to outstrip us and go on. But I want to go to chapter number 7 this morning to continue my thoughts. I also believe Brother Calvin also read these verses. And I'm going to say at the outset that when Brother Calvin talked about Brother Paul and talked about some of the his life there at the funeral, I don't know that he could have done a better job of talking about just some of Brother Paul's his life. I mean, some of y'all didn't know this. Brother Paul worked for Ford, retired from Ford, had a Ford discount. But he did tell folks, he said, if I could use my Ford discount to buy a Chevy Silverado, I'd do it. I thought, well, praise God. There's hope for everybody. Amen. 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 Some of y'all are upset. I'm upset about that. Done preaching, gone to meddling now. It's easier to preach against Democrats than it is to preach against Fords up here. I'll tell you that right now. It's a whole lot different. I'm telling you. Amen. But I want you to look in chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment. Notice this, in the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now again, we're looking at this under the sun. And we're looking at a man who's kind of embittered. And he's not tasted the sweetness of life without really emphasizing the bitterness of life. And because he's looking at life being nothing but full of heartaches and sorrow and grief and tumult and sadness, that it's better to check out than it is to check in. That's almost the mind of Solomon. But I will say this, that when we look at this, what Solomon has written, it really seems counterintuitive. It seems like it contradicts itself. How in the world can the day of death be better than the day of someone's birth? Specifically, I'm looking at this in the terms of someone who is saved. We see the potential for someone who's born. We see the life of man. We can look back over and understand that that young person has so much potential. But when we see where a man's life has ended and the time of his sojourn on earth is closed, the time of his mistakes is over. The time of the sins that he has committed is over. The time of his folly is over. No more will he mess up again. No more will he ever let the Lord down again. No more will he ever say a wrong word, have the wrong motive. Ever. No more will those things ever happen. I say, hallelujah, what a day that's going to be. Amen. Now, before I look at this verse and verse number 2, I want to remind us, let me go and read verse number 2 first, and then I'll get to this. Look at verse number 2. The Bible tells us there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh. But I want you to look at verse number 2. It is better. Get this. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. What is the house of mourning? Preacher, we're going to talk about that in a minute. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. What is the house of mourning? Verse number 1 talks about the day of death being better than the day of one's birth. The house of mourning is what we would call the funeral home, the funeral parlor. Some of us remember when you didn't go to the funeral home brought the body and laid it in the living room at the house. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And you'd go and some of the family would stay up with that departed loved one's body and just stay up all night. And I'm not being the smart aleck. I mean, was that common here in Indiana just like it was down south? Okay. So some of us remember that. Some of us remember that. But Solomon's telling us that it's better to go to a funeral than to go to the house of feasting. It's better to go there than to go to a party. A funeral is better than a birthday party. Now, little kids are like, oh, no, because I'm breaking the piñata, I'm getting all the candy, We're going to have a great time. You know, treat bags now. Everybody gets something, and it's just like a great time. But we're not looking at it as little kids. We're looking at it as grown adults. And if we look at these verses, they seem counterintuitive. They seem contradictory because it's not better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Now let me go ahead and remind us that the same man who wrote these verses is the same man who said in Proverbs 15:13 that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit's broken. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And of course, the one we all know, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. There is a time to laugh, and thank God for that. And you all well know that Brother Paul was one of those people. He was a cut up. He was a joker. He told me about getting Brother Hensley, about him getting him that little cane that had the little horn on that, and said Brother Hensley didn't like it too well. And Brother Paul said, well, it's either laugh or cry. You're living life. You might as well laugh a little bit, you know. Amen. There's time and place for everything. That's right. And I appreciate the time to laugh. I appreciate that. There have been a handful of things that I remember folks telling, Brother Paul telling. I remember Miss Barb telling, and how enjoyable it would have been just to see those, just to see people laugh. Was it Miss Lisa who grabbed, or Miss Barb grabbed Miss Lisa and scared the daylights out of her in here the one night? I heard about that from multiple times from multiple people, and I thought, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. And just to hear things like that, you know, and you got to think, Brother Paul was a man, he enjoyed life, he enjoyed laughter. He really did. And we always had a good time, whether it was at the hardware store, whether it was here. And he said, you don't need to be too uptight all the time. And that is true. And based on what we've seen that merry heart doeth good like a medicine, we probably need a little medicine in our day and time. With everything that's going on in the world, we need some of that medicine. But I want to say this, that just as there is a time to laugh, there is a time to weep, a time to mourn. And I want us to look in verse number 2. The Bible tells us here, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Listen to me, it's better to go to the funeral home than it is to go to a feast. And why is that? I want to tell you here, there are times when laughter and frivolity are out of place and inappropriate. How many of us have been to the funeral home and have seen people laugh in a funeral home? We've seen people laugh and cut up in a funeral home. And I know why people do that, because you're trying to remember the good memories of people. You want to remember the good times because the sad times are coming. I get that. I understand that. I've done it before myself. But if there's any place where we ought to have not so much laughter and frivolity as sobriety, it ought to be in a place where you're looking upon the shell of a man who is in a box that is going to be put into a ground or into a vault because his sojourn is over and his soul has gone out into eternity. And the reason, if you look in verse number 2, the Bible says this, for that is the end, watch this, of all men. There's not a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who's going to escape the appointment with death. The end of all men is going to be a funeral home. We've seen caskets 6 foot long, 7 foot long, 8 foot long. We've seen them 2 foot long. Every size in between. That is the end of all men. And the Bible tells us this in verse number 2, and the living will lay it to his heart. When we go into a funeral home and we laugh and we cut up, and listen, people had masks on at the funeral home here the other day, so if you laughed and you cut up, I couldn't tell because your face was covered, okay? So I'm not preaching to anybody individually, but I'll say this, we do a great disservice when God's people go into a funeral home and cut up and laugh like we're at a birthday party or a church picnic, because this is the time where we need to have sober understanding that everybody who is in that room at some point in time is going to be where that coffin happens to be, and their soul is going to be in one of two places, and we need to make sure that that person, before they leave this earth, has heard the gospel and they've been saved by the grace of God. We need to make sure that there is some sobriety at the funeral home. It is good to be sober and to let it sink in, because, friend, we can paint it, we can get rid of it with our video games that have unending lives, but, friend, at some point in time, you're going to die. Cats don't have nine lives. You don't come back on the video game, "Well, I died three times." No, you died once. And Hebrews 9 tells us, and that is his appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto a man one time to die. The underlying reason a lot of times I see when people laugh at a funeral home really is to escape reality. Really to escape reality. I understand we want to talk about the person who's gone on. I mean, I still remember being in the line at my dad's funeral. And folks would say certain things, you know, "We're sorry for your loss," they're comforting. And I'll just share this one. I don't really try, I'm not trying to tear down everything that I've said, but I sat in the, as in the line, and I couldn't tell you the gentleman's name. He came up and said, "Yeah, grew up with your dad," and really enjoyed it, and said, "He beat the fire out of me one time." I was like, "What in the world happened?" He said, "Well, we both boxed, such and such golden gloves when we were in our late teens over in Knoxville," and said, "We had a match," and said, "Your dad beat the fool out of me." And I thought, "Dad never told me he boxed the golden gloves over there. I didn't know." It's just stuff you learn. I thought, "Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that, glad he whooped you. It was, made a blessing in my heart. I appreciate that, And there are good times, but when we come to a funeral home, we got to realize that everybody, at some point in church, every one of us is going that way. You're going that way. My question is, are you ready to meet him? Are you going the same direction Brother Paul, Miss Barb went? Based on their testimony, with the way that they went to glory. Amen. You see, that good name is better than that precious ointment. In this text, we see that there is a personal testimony. We see there's a personal testimony. Because when that man dies, verse number one, "The day of death better than the day of one's birth," his life's over. Verse number eight, "Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." May I say to us that when the life's over, all of our opportunities to mess things up are over. Thank God for that. Now, I'm not wanting to check out tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to the day that I don't mess up things anymore. I don't say the wrong thing. I don't upset people. I've preached before and people have been upset. I don't like doing that, but those are things that happen. I know that I've upset folks. I've said things that, have upset my children. I've said things that upset my wife. I've said things that upset my siblings and my parents. But the day's going to come where I'm not going to make those mistakes anymore. Praise God for that, because I have a new body, new mind. Won't have to worry about that. Praise God for that one day. Amen. Amen. That'll be a great time. We do see the potential when somebody's born, but may I say to us, we see that the time of life, when it's over, that testimony's been sealed, a man's course is run. But I want to say this, I'm not so much want to talk about that personal testimony. Brother Calvin did that a lot and did a very good job about Brother Paul there, but I want to talk about just for a second the practical reality. You and I need to come face to face with the fact, listen to me, that every one of us is going to pass. We're all going to die. Every one of us is. And just because somebody is older does not mean that they're going to go before we do. No person sitting in this building this morning has a promise of tomorrow. There's a gospel tract printed 20-something years ago that we found, that we handed out down in Tennessee, and it had a picture of a hearse on the front. That'll get your attention. But it said this: "You may tie your shoes this morning. The undertaker may untie them tonight. This road is dangerous. Drunkards and dope heads all over the place. We live in a time now where it's You don't even want to go open up your front door in the middle of daytime because you don't know what person's going to come up and what they may try to do to you or your family. We live in perilous times. I appreciate y'all praying. Help me out, the Lord helping us out, getting that blood pressure where it's down a little bit. It's under a little bit more control. And I appreciate the Lord working through some of that medicine and y'all praying and helping us out. But, I mean, I could stroke out tonight. Hello? Amen. I may not see 48. I could go ahead and head out tonight. Amen. I'm probably like most of y'all, I'm worth more dead than alive. But my wife tells me this sad story. I need you here. Nah, you'd be rolling in the dough, sister. Let me tell you. That's right. Just be sure to tithe on it, okay? Amen. That's right. Amen. That'll take care of the missionaries for a while. Amen. But none of us has a promise of tomorrow. None of us does. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. What I want to talk to us this morning about is this. Every one of us is going to pass at some point in time. Are you ready to meet God? You ready to meet Him? How can you be prepared to meet the Lord? How can you be prepared? There's only one way to be prepared. Can I give it to you again? John 3:16, for God what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why did God send His Son into a dark world? To light the world up with the presence of His Son. The presence of the holiness of God. The presence of Christ, who's the light of the world. The only way you can be prepared this morning is by coming to Christ. That's it. And I know you've heard it before, and I'm going to preach it to you again. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go to heaven outside of Christ. Christ went to Calvary, took the wrath of God upon Himself. God poured His wrath for sin out upon His own only Son and punished Christ in your place, and that you could have eternal life by coming God's way, and that's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. The hope of the world is Calvary. That'd make a good title of a song. The hope of the world is Calvary. No message would be complete without Christ's gospel being proclaimed and presented. You see, we go to the funeral home and we get sobered up. It ought to scare the living daylights out of people. It ought to. But friend, I want to remind us that it doesn't do that because of our technology, because of our extension of life, all the medicines and things like that. But I want to be very clear that every one of us, one day, is going to leave this life. Are you ready to go home to meet Jesus? Are you ready? Have you been saved this morning? Have you been saved? I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking anything like that. I'm just asking you, have you been born again? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not. I said unto thee, you must be born again. There has to be a new birth. You've got to be saved. And thank God we can say 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God for that. Amen. 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 Miss Judy, would you mind coming and just play us a verse here this morning? Let's all stand.